Dogs of Warcry is a new podcast from the Mortal Realms, focusing on Warcry, a fast-paced, cinematic skirmish game by Games Workshop. Join us for discussions on gameplay, rules, lore, painting, terrain building, campaigns, and events. In episode 5 of season 6, we're going to be covering the new Pyre and Flood Warcry set. We're going to be talking about rules and models and everything cool. We're going to be saving some of the Adepticon conversation for a later episode. But before we get into that, I want to just exclaim from the mountaintops that we've got all four dogs here in the house. Can I get a give me your barks. Give me your barks.
Woof.
The reluctant one. Yep. Josh, how are you doing, man?
Doing well. Had a lot of fun Adepticon. Getting a little bit of hobby in since then. Looking forward to doing this podcast.
Awesome. Vint, how are you doing?
It's been awesome. Lots and lots of games, all sorts of different systems, but it's good to be back. Yeah.
Hey, Vint, let everybody hear your voice. Don't you dare be quiet on me. Say something. Say something.
Well, I'm trying to. Hey, guys, I'm back. Out with the old and with the new. And also in with the old again.
What is old is now new. How are you guys doing recovering from Adepticon? We were all there. We were all playing games. We were running stuff. Everybody recovered.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me like a week to start hobbying again, but that was less to do with any kind of Adepticon hangover and more to do with my family getting the stomach flu.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah. Do you think, was that con crud coming back with you or something else entirely?
Nah, half my family got the stomach flu like before Adepticon. Like I almost didn't make it. And then the other half got it when I got back.
Yeah, I didn't bring anything. I was feeling a little stuffy, a little, you know, runny nose as I was heading home, but nothing manifested.
Yeah.
Must have been the fresh air.
I already dealt with the bronchitis before. So it was, I did my time.
Typically in our episodes, we start with the Forge of Mithraxis and the Path to Glory. Both our hobby and our games, that's been focused around Adepticon for us recently. So we're gonna move that in our next episode. We're gonna cover Adepticon. So we're gonna skip over those. Which, you know what? Sometimes that Forge gets pretty nasty. So we're gonna move on and we're gonna jump into our first topic.
All right. So in the Visions of Mandates, we're gonna talk about announcements and some speculation stuff. White Dwarf 495. Had the City of Sigmar stuff, super fun, super fluffy. Have you guys gotten to play them at all?
I saw them played at Adepticon, but this particular one is adding this Dawnbringer element to it rather than the Castellite formations that they had. Yeah.
It seems like it'd be a lot of fun. I haven't gotten to try it yet, but it's on my list. I've been working on some cities models, so I hope to get them out there and try it out. And then this month, the Wild Corpse Hunters and Ogre Quests. From the Hunter and Hunted. Have you guys checked those out at all?
Yeah, they just reprinted from the book, but which is good. Okay. People didn't get the box set, but bought the individual warband boxes separately. Now you've got all the same quests and everything that was in the book.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's very convenient that they're doing that, making it so that you don't have to buy that book. You certainly can, but that particularly those rules are available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of things coming available, we have the Pyre and the Flood and the Briar and Bone set that comes up afterwards.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we have in the Briar? We've got the Sylvaneth, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
In the Bone, we've got our Ossiarch.
Correct.
Yeah.
Some interesting models for sure.
Yeah, there's Bone Dogs in Harmony.
That's got to be the name of your warband.
Bum, 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 bum. Tell me what you're going to do. All right. And then you said some new Underworlds warbands, which will bring Bladeborne. We've got an update coming for some of those warbands, correct?
Right. Yeah, just get one? Next month's White Dwarf, or April's, I guess, is supposed to have a lot of that in it, supposedly.
All right. Do you think we'll get some of those new Bolt fanatics?
We should. I mean, all the Underworld stuff we should get rules for eventually.
New Underworld guys that
zap each other
They
to
got lightning
hit their
all over
enemies.
the place.
Do you call them the Electrolytes? Because that's cool. That'd be a cool name. Keep you energized throughout your battle.
Keep them hopping.
What else we got?
Well, the big one. So we've got the Saviors of Cinderfall rules came out, and then we had an FAQ in December. So just kind of catching up on some of that stuff.
Right.
The big thing is, as of today, there was the Games Workshop announcement that some of the Warcry 1.0 warbands and the a few range drops for AOS will be happening. So there's been a big shakeup as of this morning, which has kind of changed how we were and what we were going to talk about. Josh, what are some of your thoughts on the range drops?
Yeah, so mainly it's just for the Warcry perspective anyway. They're going to be stopping or no longer making available a lot of the 1.0 warbands, the Chaos ones specifically. Keeping Dark Oath, keeping Kainite Shadowstalkers, but also punting the Horns of Hashut from 2.0. And rationale seemed to be that they're coming out with really cool new Dark Oath models, which are kind of the Marauder, Chaos, Cultist sort of models that they want, or that these typically kind of filled the blank in for Slaves to Darkness. So that's the rationale. Obviously, a lot of us have favorite warbands from that era. So it'll be interesting. We'll see what kind of rules they leave us with, and if we can continue to play those locally or not. Or, yeah, we'll see where that goes. But obviously, my Cypher Lords are a little disappointed, but that's understandable.
Yeah, thinking about the Untamed Beasts and the Cypher Lords are all the rivalries that we had in first edition, paving with your. I mean, you still get your jumping around squigs and stuff like that, so, good for you.
Tarantula's brood, yeah, they're going to, yeah.
But that those rivalries may not get another, kind of breath into them or second wind into them, like we did. We played a couple of leagues with older warbands to see if, how they played, et cetera. We've had fun with them. I played my Untamed Beasts as a ringer at Adepticon, which means that, they got a, last hurrah out in the public. So that was cool. Yeah, I mean, I think coming from like being here since the beginning of AOS, it's interesting to see some of that stuff like get cold when, man, we've been waiting for like some metals to get like cut out for a long time and some fine cast to get cut out for a long time. So I'm almost glad because it's sort of like they're not afraid to cut plastic, which means that maybe we're just moving to all plastic and that things could change. You could get new stuff. Like last thing I'll say is I'm not keen on like if it goes towards a high like limited edition armies, that'd be kind of crazy. But those are my general thoughts. I'm okay with it. I'm okay.
Yeah, I got some thoughts.
What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it all day. Since the big announcement, I was like, "Babe, big Warhammer news! Can't talk."
Don't text me right now.
They're
I need to
like,
be alone.
"They're dropping models from the range." It's like, "Anything you care about?" I'm like, "I don't know." One, I really liked those warbands. They were cool, and they had a really unique fluff. So that's like, not everybody can buy them. And so I would wish you could buy them forever, but. Games Workshop has to rotate product. They can't create new product if they don't rotate some product. So that totally makes sense. A lot of the Age of Sigmar ones make more sense. My hope is that like being narrative gamers, they push the Warcry stuff to a Legends rule set. And even if it's not balanced, you can play with that stuff in narrative forever because we don't care if it's balanced. Like we're just here to tell fun stories and we're not trying to break the game. And then that way you can play with those guys forever. Also, we have like at least a year for to all this stuff is going to be good in Warcry 2. That's going to remain like also competitive legal and all these kind of things.
Till
And
summer 2025. Just we didn't state that ahead of time.
yeah, somewhere in 2025. Yeah, they haven't talked about what Warcry is going to be like, but if they're not selling the miniatures, they need to take it out of the competitive scene. Salty C, who is our competitive guru. In the Warcry community made a great point. It's like you don't want things to be competitive that you can't buy. That's really bad for a game. So that totally makes sense that they'll be like sunsetted from like balanced Warcry. But from the narrative point, we should be able to play with that stuff forever. I'm really excited to do something locally, probably like one last hurrah for all the bespoke rotating jabronis of chaos, kind of weirdos. Like, I would love to take my Signs of the Flame or Tarantulas brood out for one last spin, and like see who wins the Bloodwind spoil once and for all. I think that could be a super fun event. I wouldn't even mind like buying a new one of those warbands and painting them up. Maybe Splintered Fang, I've had my eye on for 5 years. So
Yeah, that'd be fun.
yeah, those are my, I don't know. Oh yeah, I don't know if that's like good or like my feeling is good or bad, but I think it's like, oh, it's good they're rotating. Sad the models are going. I'm excited for what the future holds.
Yeah. Vint, you feeling strongly?
Yeah, I mean it was it's been kind of spicy on my end since I'm a Savage Orcs and Beasts of Chaos player in big AOS, so there's
Ooh,
lots of models
big
that
oof.
are, yeah, big oof. Yeah, and I like the Sacrosanct Chamber too, so I have some of those yet. So it's just it was a bit of a shot this morning. I guess so. My hope is that they're going to, like with some of the Warcry stuff, I don't know that we're going to get reprints or things like that. With all the Skaven models going away, I'm glad I have so many because whatever the new sculpt is, I don't know if I like it or not like it, but at least I have the models. In the case of things like Clan Rats, I don't know, you know, if they're changing Clan Rats in a really big way, the hundreds of them I have are going to be, you know, less than awesome, but it gives me some options, and it'll be fun to hobby on new stuff too. So right, Paven, to your point, cycling is good. It's neat. I like the approach that they're giving us a year heads up, right? So if there's stories and narratives I want to wrap up, if I want to finish my story, I can do that, and I still have the time to do it.
Good point. Yeah. Like a
And I
year and
will
3 months.
say, as like a well-known Games Workshop shill, I really appreciate them coming out and saying it and being like, hey, this stuff is going away, and just taking the hit. Because before, what they would do is just quietly take things out of the store. And that was worse. Like, maybe it didn't create the same amount of like medium marketing moment, but it was less like consumer fan friendly. And this is just like, hey, this stuff is leaving. This is the reason it's leaving. You know, we know it's melancholy for you all, but we just want to be like kind of transparent here. And I appreciate that. I'd rather just, you know, give it to me straight, Doc.
And give us time. Yeah, like you know, it's like you said, a little over a year. Yeah, you got time to continue to play with these.
And I think we learned from Vince bargain with Tzeentch that a year is more than enough time to do any one thing.
Yeah.
Especially
So,
with the inch.
yeah. Yeah, no, I played an AOS game tonight, and I was like, man, I don't know what I've got to play. And then I opened up my Tzeentch drawer. I was like, I don't need to worry about it. So much. I guess that's like the big thing too to our listeners or people watching is like, it's tough, right? You spent money, you spent time, you know, the time is compounded because you had to work to get the money, to get the time to build the models, paint the models, and all that stuff, and that kind of stinks. But it's the reality is even if they legends it, right? If you're a friend group, like if the four of us got together and we wanted to play Catacombs, because always we get together to play Catacombs, we can use the Catacombs rules. They don't disappear, they don't get burned at the stake. Like, there's not Catacombs police coming around burning up your Splintered Fang data cards from Warcry 1 or Warcry 2. So you'll always have those opportunities to play, even if it's not quite at a tournament scene. But with any meta and any competitive gaming, stuff always changes, right? You don't see the same turnout for a Quake, you know, tournament on the interwebs anymore that you would see in the 2000s, you know. So it's just very, it grows, and growth is both good and difficult. So we understand it's tough. Soldier on.
We're here with you.
I kind of I hope too, I'm wondering too if some of those decisions are based off of you know what's selling, right? With
Of
the
course.
new, you know, with the new Thunderstrike armor Stormcast, for instance, for AOS. people seem to like that in general better than the older
models. It's way better objectively.
And so, you know, you also buy what's newer. So, if they're not selling as many of those, if they can see by the market saying, you know what, we don't like that. And I think that could be tough for somebody who buys into an army, because, you know, you probably don't want them dumping armies every year or every couple years, because, you know, people are buying into those. At the same time, if, say, they brought out, you know, like the what are the swamp orcs, the cruel boys, right? Yeah. Like if maybe they didn't hit the mark and maybe people aren't into them, and so maybe they're like, okay, well, these have a shelf life now, we're not going to expand on them, we're going to plan to sunset them in 10 years or 6 years or something like that, and plan to have something else, you know, who knows.
I will say, I don't like, I'm of two minds. Like, if you're a big Beast of Chaos player and you really like playing Beast of Chaos, like, not being able to play Beast of Chaos is like, it's bad news for you. And I don't want to like take away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Something to keep in mind is that like all of these experiences have a shelf life, and Games Workshop has the longest because they're like a really big company with a really well-supported game. But like some games just disappear, like, and nobody plays them anymore. Mm-hmm. Even like big games like War Machine, which used to give Games Workshop a run for his money and is having so much of a resurgence,
mm-hmm.
sunset their entire line and are redoing it. Like imagine if like every single thing in Games Workshop catalog went Legends, and like they just started coming out with like four new armies, and those are the only four armies that are going to be supported. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the life of War Machine where it is right now. And it's right. Cool. They're doing really dope stuff, but like that's a whole different reality. So appreciate how good you got it, you whiny gamers.
Well, and I mean, in general,
right, that was the opposite of what I wanted.
No. In general, some games, like there's plenty of miniature games that only last a few years. They make some beautiful models, but they don't get enough market penetration and they go away, and whoever invested in that, you know, doesn't get to play that unless they, you know, again, keep the book, have a few of those warbands, and they rope a friend into it every once in a while. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they can't take away our good times and our memories.
That's right. Those our rivalries will continue. Yeah,
those are in the vault of our hearts. Good points.
Well, Morathi takes it. It's okay.
You know, talking about the different game systems, I mean, in the last year, we've watched Aeronautica go away, right? It's done. It's over. There will be no more anythings for Aeronautica, and that's under the GW umbrella. You know, it gets converted to the Epic, new Epic version. I'm blanking on the name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool, but all my orc planes are neat for display, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some that I'm really attached to, but I don't know that I'll play them ever again. And that's like, I'm just excited that it means for us playing Warcry and for people playing Age of Sigmar, okay, if you're going to take my armies away and burn them at the altar of new models, they're going to be awesome, right? And they're going to be cool. And the game is going to continue to grow and continue to develop. And that's, you know, those hobby dollars that I'll be spending on my new army will go towards the next model generation and the next new hobbyist that's looking for an inexpensive starter set, you know? So it makes sense. It's just bittersweet.
Maybe, Vint, you should publish a list of what you get into so that people can stay away from it.
Too late.
Zeech 2026, dead. The changer of ways has changed his days. He's no more. Yeah.
All right. Any last thoughts on the range drop?
Sorry for your loss, Vint.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
And sorry for anybody else's loss out there who's mourning 1.0 warbands or some of the bones
larger ranges. You know, some local players have sacrosanct chambers. Yep.
A lot of the Thundercats, mm-hmm. right? All the Thundercats. Yeah.
Yo, Vanguard Chamber somehow snuck away, Dodge.
They're the one I want.
They're scouts. They're scouts. They just snuck on there.
they got lost in the realms.
No, I love the Palador models, like the mounts. Man, that bulky armor needs to go. We need some light boys on there.
Yeah, Sacrosanct Chamber, I thought, had a really good design. I really liked it was like maybe a little too much with the armor and then the robes and then the jewelry and then the hammers, and then they were also wizards. But I thought it looked really good. I was like, okay, they kind of fixed Stormcast with that one. But then they fixed it even better with Thunderstrike.
Yeah. Well, maybe all of the Stormcast reforging has been perfected now, and we don't need the Sacrosanct anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, Sigmar lied in that it was, he said it was imperfect, but it actually was perfect.
We got it figured out. They put the epoxy sculpt in there, the green stuff, and it's all good.
It used to be handsome immortal heroes forever, just like this podcast.
Yeah.
In the article, they talked about the Sacrosanct being up in the heavens to figure out the curse, and that kind of made me think that maybe they're just going to redo the line, like, with even more capes and tabards and wizard sticks and Harry Potter references. It's going to be great. And so that's where my hope is there, is that, like, you know, Sacrosanct isn't gone forever, just for now.
Right, right.
I think, I think they'll do warrior wizards again.
Do you think the Sigmar got fed up with remote work and called him back to the office? Is that it?
Yeah, for sure.
And then you lightning geist. You guys need to get back up here. This is an
HR problem. All right, Josh, why don't you take us to our next segment?
All right, we're going to do a short hop, skip, and a jump over to the Circle of Paint. And as you know, listeners, you know, it's been a while since we've had a podcast. And we'll just let you know that we haven't had much success in this particular arena. But now that we're back in business, we will start making more progress. And the three of us are trying to get Paven to join us. So, you know, any fans, give a shout out if you think Paven should totally join this.
Yeah. Well, what episode are we on?
Six of this season.
Six. So we only have two more episodes.
This is five.
So I have three more episodes and record once every 3 months.
Yeah.
So
plenty of time.
So I have 9 months.
Yeah. You'll be fine. All the time in the world.
Okay. Actually, that doesn't sound so bad. What is the challenge this month, this year?
Objectives. So we've got Josh printed out for us, or found and printed out, these octagons that are in the same size as the cardboard objectives that you get, and you can put anything you want on it to make it an objective themed to a warband or to an alliance or something like that.
Yeah, especially now, since objectives, you can't actually move models onto them. So you could put whatever you want on there, because models can no longer end their move on an objective. So
I love that. I love sculpted objectives. Okay, I'm in.
Okay.
Whew. That didn't take much. I like it.
That was a big push, guys.
I don't think, like, this isn't going to be like build a city, which was, I think, one when we tried to do one time. I think I can paint up six objectives.
Six objectives. So I think I've got four of my six with things glued on, like pieces of plastic that are the items themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, I think, mostly a scattering of from my Cities of Sigmar Cogfort. So
Cogfort. Are you guys all theming your objectives to one warband?
Not necessarily. No, I'm trying to make mine more generic. More Gnawwood or other.
Cause you to lose. You're going to lose it.
We'll see. Maybe I'll take potato pictures again, and it'll just be a landslide.
My photo booth is open.
The day after.
With enough time, everything is possible. We will get you an update on those. We will have made some progress by our next recording and have updates from everybody.
And I will get some printed for Paven.
Any more banter or challenges anybody wants to make within that?
You know, we got to get to the meat of this episode, or I'm going to pass out.
Because you're so excited to talk about.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm so excited. Yeah, I can't handle it. My blood pressure.
It is a late night, and we're not used to this high octane, high demand method of recording our voices. So let's move on to our victory condition for this episode, which is to share our impressions of the new Pyre and Flood set and what's inside. First things first, Pyre, Nighthaunt, Flood, Lumineth, first impressions. What were you guys thinking when you saw these models for the first time, and then maybe when you saw them close up with these photos?
I really like the models. You know, the Nighthaunt has a really unique theme. You know, especially like with the torched, the ones that are on fire, and some other cool. You know, they got some really neat sculpts. Huge fan of the Lumineth. When I first saw them, I was like, these are Cypher Lords. It's like the first thing I thought of. But they've got some very dynamic moves, you know, the headdresses, and, you know, caught my eye. I thought it would be really cool to do the, you know, sort of the Lumineth. That would be a fun warband to play besides the, you know, the generic Lumineth army. So this is our first warband of Lumineth. So I thought they caught my eye a little bit more, I think.
I really, really liked the... I thought the Lumineth, I was like, okay, I'm really waiting for the next Bender group. And then when they came out with the Waterbenders, I was like, you know, there's no soldiers in Ba Sing Se. But then, so kind of moved off of those. Really like the Nighthaunt, though. Goodness, the ones that are on fire, like just the motif throughout. And Nighthaunt in general, I'm always excited. When I see them at tournaments, I'll go over and be like, you're playing Nighthaunt, oh my gosh! Because they're just, the kits are so good. They're all so neat, and spoopy ghosts are always spoopy and fun. Mm-hmm. Lady Olynder is one of my favorite characters in Age of Sigmar lore, so it's just really cool. And I nerd out a little bit every time I see him, so I'm very excited for the Nighthaunt.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Lumineth, I have like a love-hate relationship with. I really like some of the kits and some of the design choices, and then there are other choices that I don't feel as good about. These river blades kind of do the same thing for me. Like, I love the masks. Everything with a mask is cool. The kung fu stuff is great. I like kung fu elves. I think that's a good choice. I like elementals with the elves. I don't like the knee pads as much, and the suspenders. Those, I don't know, they don't feel as cool to me. They just like, oh, they're just kind of like fancy fishermen. Which maybe they are.
Does it make you think they actually do use wires instead of being able to flip on their own? They'd be like harnesses and like faked wire work, and then they just...
Yeah, they're fakers and liars. Yeah. So I like a lot of the models. I can even see myself painting up a warband of these guys, because I think they're cool, but not every piece of their aesthetic is for me. It's also cool that they're a group of water elves that aren't part of the water elf faction. So these are like
the Idunath, you mean? Yeah.
As opposed to the saltwater elves we already have.
The Idunath, yeah.
Yeah, which would be for the Nighthaunt, have a classic. Well, not in a classic, they're pretty new, but they have a great aesthetic. They're so good and unique, and like all their models are fun. Mm-hmm. Being on ghosts on fire, yeah, let's do it.
Right. Right. They're pretty cool.
This ghost is on fire. Thanks, Katy Perry. I think she sings that.
What is everybody's one favorite miniature?
One favorite.
Ooh.
I like the Crest Dancers with Twin Spears. I think those guys are clean. They got great movement. They got cool weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They got the masks and not the overalls.
Yep. That reminds me, again, a lot of the Cypher Lords. But yes, I like that one a lot.
I agree, too. I think that, I mean, we always thought with the Cypher Lords that they were, you know, Lumineth, chaotic Lumineth, right?
They're from
So they're humans from Hish, yeah.
And what do
I like the pure Flood Seneschal. He's got a few different weapon options. And they all look pretty cool. So, well, yeah, very dynamic models, kind of posing and showing off. So.
I kind of like the Crest Dancer with the knife in his hand, like he's backhand throwing that thing from over his shoulder. I think that's pretty cool. And with the Pure Flood, there's like a back scabbard of throwing knives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. There's a lot of that cool stuff.
Yeah.
I like all the like glaive wraiths, but the bigger version with the like
the axes,
sconces on sticks. Yeah, those are super cool. Mm-hmm. The one with the two makes me think that they're like starting a band. Like they're like two steps away from a rave. You've got one drummer. You've got the guy with the flail doing the light dance thing. They're ready for the rave.
Yeah, the torch wraiths are fun. They're completely on fire.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, so those are the models. The Nighthaunts, the Pyregeists have, I believe, 8 models. Is that right? Or
I think that's right.
Yep, eight.
And then the Riverblades have 10, which is kind of up there with the Huanchi, right? So good higher model count or mid to, you know, I think, you know, 7 to 8 is mid. So that's nice. What about this terrain piece? The Idol of the Old Ones, kind of a stone carved amphibian, a slan of sorts. It's kind of part, you know, mostly ruined, etc. It's got a couple of flat spots to stand on. Otherwise, it's fairly sparse as a platform. What do you guys think of it?
So it's a big stone frog head.
Big stone frog head. I mean, you could say it that way, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
And it's great.
partially in the ground kind of thing too. Yeah.
I love it.
I really want to see a table where it's looking this like Sigmar head straight
Looks
in the
like
eyes.
you did this.
Too much reflection.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Where they're both like, because the cold dead eyes of that Sigmar are looking at the cold dead eyes and like disappointed eyes of that Slann. That is how they should spend eternity.
There you
Sad
go.
statues.
With lots of
I
feeling.
it's interesting. Some of the maw pot doesn't have a ton of space to stand. It has a plenty of space to get eaten,
Well, you know, it's got the
but
platform, you know, it goes over
yep.
it, so you
Yeah, okay, the maw,
sacrifice
you're talking about
a
the
couple
maw
models in there.
pit, right? The maw
Yes,
pit.
yeah.
And even the ziggurat only has a little bit of space. So it's kind of interesting that these bigger centerpiece ones kind of are a little lesser in their standing space, but they have a big presence on the table and they create they split the table up. So what else is new in this? We want to start with the map. What's new on the map? We're in the Sundered Scales. We're in the
Yeah.
heart of the Gnarlwood.
Yeah, they've been
So
adding all
this looks
sorts of new
good.
stuff. Every, you know, every box set they come out, they add at least the new encampments for those factions and as well as some additional lore tidbits. Some of the lore that they've added is not on the map, but there's some interesting stuff there. But for the map, they added the Godhead Cavern, where there's an idol of the old one. They added the Opened Throat, an area where the ground erupts with blood and attracts young trees and different creatures.
Gross.
So they call it the open throat because it's like spurting out of the
Yeah.
ground in
Nope.
geysers.
Yeah. We had
You
that.
got it.
I
We didn't
know,
need
I
that.
know.
We didn't
Just
need the extra, the hand motions. We didn't need that.
the visual. And then related to the two warbands, they have the veins of the Derovar, which is an ancient river that runs underneath the Gnarlwood. It used to be above it. So there's lots of tributaries of the river that are kind of buried, and the river blades are trying to resurrect it and bring it to the surface. And then there's the Screaming Blaze, which is a huge column of balefire, this emerald fire that the Pyregeists have as their encampment, and it's raising the dead to be a new army for Nagash.
Yeah. All right. So we've got some new spots on there. We're zoomed in quite a bit. The eater pits are still on here. The Ventilax's path. But there's a few. The weird lights are here, but they're all on the kind of periphery of this. So everything's zoomed into the scales specifically. We've talked a little bit about the models themselves. Do you want to go further into kind of the levels of fighters, for each of the warbands, or do you want to jump into kind of their motivations and what they're here for?
Yeah, we could just jump into the motivation. So, we can say that there are three different model types for the River Blades, and there's four different for the Night Haunt. So.
So let's jump into the motivations. One of the pieces I thought was interesting, there's the Decree of Nagash in the Fires of Hatred, and it just talks about, though sorely weakened by his arcane duel with Teclis, the mage god, the consciousness of Nagash continues to direct the multi-realm war against the living, seeking to prepare vital regions for the realm of for conquest. And what came to mind was, the boss is on hiatus, but I'm still getting emails. Why won't he stay down a little bit? Like, the dead were ready to rest, but he's like, no, got to keep going. And in this case, for the Night Haunt, Nagash wants them to burn the woods down, and create a foothold in Gur for the undead. What is it? What is he not satiated with what he got before?
Ever.
Never.
It's everything. He wants everything. He tried
Yeah.
for everything
Oh.
with the Black Pyramid. Round two fight.
Yep. Right.
It just seems so ambitious and never really up for the task.
Those Skaven will get them every time.
So the Nighthaunt are tasked with just burning the place down, burning up the Gnarlwood, taking every soul in the Gnarlwood given to get to Nagash.
Right.
And you talked a little bit about the veins of Derivar, who wants to talk about the Riverblades and what their motivation is.
So yeah, these elves are, as Vince said, are like river elves, and they want to empower river spirits all over the realms. And you know, because the realms have been in such bad shape, the rivers are often polluted or corrupted or driven crazy. And this is one such river, because it is once was a mighty and ferocious Gurish river that would, you know, eat its banks and like knock over trees and like kind of drown people, like a good bestial river, as you find in the realm of beasts. But it was fighting a kind of a losing battle against the Gnarlwood, and then when Talaxis crashed, it completely was overcome with all of the gnarl oaks coming in and like roots going in the river and drinking up its water. And now it is kind of just a few trickles from under the forest. And so the Riverblades want to revitalize that ferocious spirit and have it like kind of thrash its banks and like, you know, kind of reestablish dominance in the area, and then probably use it to drown a bunch of people.
Blood and cleanse.
Cleanse the land. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. It seems like they could work. These two could work together for a little bit. They're both trying to just genocide this forest and everything in it. So I really liked the description of the Derivar. I was like, I wonder how they're described to this. And yeah, it's as you'd expect in Gur. It is the rocks being pulled in the current act as teeth, shredding everything that would be on the banks, pulling it in and causing the water to turn red. So that's great. That's really cool.
Right. Oh, on a river.
In this book, there's some, you know, different things that it talks about. Obviously, we've got these two elements that are trying to just lay waste to the gnarl oak or the gnarl woods. You know, to this point, everyone's been trying to explore it or extract from it. These two warbands want to just tear it down. I suppose the horns of Hushut were a little bit similar. They wanted to burn it all. So now we've got a death faction, a chaos faction, and an order faction that want to burn it down or to tear it down. I suppose, I mean, Destruction wanted to do, like, they're the OGs of tearing things down.
Ogres eat it. Yeah.
Ogres want to eat it. what other story elements kind of popped out to you guys? Anything in particular you want to talk about?
Yeah, no. One of the lore aspects I thought was pretty cool is that they kind of describe what the helmets, there's this kind of like horse motif on the helmet of the Riverblades, and it apparently represents Dyxo Whitecrest, the mightiest river spirit in Hish, and so they kind of use it to motivate themselves and represent their goal. It was a nice little tidbit of lore.
I liked the Idols of the Old Ones, this amphibious head, so the terrain piece sort of emulates one of these, but there's sort of this idea that the starships, the void ships of the Seraphon, there's so many calculations and things that have to be accounted for going through the void that they're sort of hinted at sort of like a magical AI type thing that guides the ship. I wonder if that's where the old ones are, was the first thing that came to my head. Was it the old ones aren't gone? They're just in the ships, you know, so their consciousness is there and they can connect with the bunch of these idols all around that were a part of the ship, but they can connect with them and use them and do that sort of thing. But it, you know, they could take an area and turn it to winter, or, you know, freeze everything in the area, or, you know, burn it back up, kind of turn on the realm, the terraforming engines. Realm shaper engines. So that's kind of an interesting addition, right? To take, you know, in our current environment of artificial intelligence and machine learning and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and like apply that into a fantasy setting. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything else jump out to you guys?
How long have we been in the scales for?
So the scales we got into the scales right after the release of the
Jade Obelisk and the
So this last season is the start. Well, I was thinking even more after the Royal Beast Flayers was sort of the place where we got to the wall of like the thorny wall and stuff kind of came into play. But so
We're not really at the wall. I mean the horns of the Hunters of Huan Chi, I think, and the Jade Obelisk introduced us to the scales and their particular encampments. There's
were they
a
inside the scales? Their
yeah,
encampments?
they're inside
Okay.
the scales or on the peripheries. Yeah, the Hounds of Karnath, they're like in the other side of the Gnarlwood, and the vampires just kind of wandered all around. So that was different. But I think it was the Jade Obelisk and the Hunters where we were in the Sundered Scales, and then Hunter and Hunted. I think the campments were still again in the Sundered Scales, and I think that's continuing. And kind of like you said, we're kind of zeroing in on this area, and it looks like this is where a lot of the Eye of Chotek crashed.
So and next year, Talaxis.
So I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, with this season, would we consider this part, this wave, with the ogres and humans, with the cruel boys and the flesh eater courts, or are those have been the newest models in this kind of wave, right? And now we've got these two, and we've got two more coming up. So that'll be eight warbands, nine warbands, I think, in the mix here. Maybe in this next fall, we'll sort of get a new wave and a new location. Is that what we think?
Yeah, or maybe like maybe we're delving deeper into Talaxis, maybe even
Yeah.
under or within
Yeah,
Dungeon
maybe
Temple.
within.
Finally.
I
Yes.
know. I
So
know. I
definitely talked
totally
about.
think they're going to do a catacombs like setting.
Yeah, last
Yes.
year before we get Warcry 3, I don't know,
Yeah.
Vermintide, and we're just
Right.
like in Skaven Blight, which would be
That'd be
awesome.
interesting.
Super
That'd be,
fun.
I mean, a new Mordheim, type of thing, right? Don't say it out loud. I was
Yeah.
gonna say it out loud.
Don't say
Reset the clock.
it. They reset
They're
the
pushing
clock.
people's buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like we've been talking, we thought that the second half or once we got done with the big four boxes from the season two start, that we might get into the Eye of Chotek. But yeah, they talk about these vaults and all these different, like, they talk a lot more about the insides of the ships and these idols that control it or can turn it on, et cetera, or using them can control it. So I don't
Just
know.
we just
How
got
close
like we
can we
got
get?
six more sets of Gnarlokes to get through,
Well,
and then we're
this
done.
box set, to be fair, had no
Yeah, no
Gnarlos. It's
Gnarl.
just the little
Just
head.
one
That's it.
frog head.
That's
And
it.
it came out the same time as a Ravaged Land set that definitely had more Gnarlokes.
Well, and we're
We're
getting at
not
least
making out the previous box too.
in the Briar and whatnot bone set, we're getting a new Gnarl Oak that has four legs
And a
and
big
teeth.
stump. Yeah.
Yep. So
It's
we know we're
true.
gonna get at least one more. What else? Yeah, interesting about the Balefire. Not only burns flesh, but also bits of the soul. Hey, really,
Ouch. The
really
gosh
hot
wants
fire.
it. Ooh.
Yeah, really hot fire.
Yeah, I thought that the Pyrogeist, they've mentioned in many other aspects of the Night Haunt, how the certain Night Haunt are formed as punishments. And this one fits in the theme. These are people who cremated bodies in sacred rites to prevent their souls from getting snatched away so they can go to the underworld safely. So he's now turned them into Pyrogeists to burn and steal souls from other people because he was saving them from it's like the gosh, man, twisted sense of justice.
What a Nagash hole. He really knows how to burn my bridges.
Right.
So we're gonna switch gears a little bit and talk about some of the new kind of cool stuff we get to play with in the game. We're not gonna cover all of the abilities or all of the stat blocks and that sort of fighter cards for each of these. Or even give like overall impressions of how we think they'll play. I have a hard time just looking at a warband. I really often need to like play it to know how good it is. So why don't we start with around the box? Everybody pick out an ability that you think is pretty cool. It could be a reaction, could be a one of the dice abilities, could be, a fighter card, even if you wanted to, and say, hey, I like this thing.
I'll jump in first. I like the cremation mechanic with the pyre geist, I think is really clever. Mm-hmm. Right. The ability to turn into a blaze at the end and damage people and get that extra kill and stuff. I just think that's mm-hmm. themey and fun and very balefiery. Very night haunt. Can't kill me twice.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because it replaces, they don't have a faction reaction. Instead, they have mm-hmm. this unique ability. So, like, they're changing up the mechanics a little bit with some of these new warbands, which is exciting.
Do you want to explain the mechanic real quick?
So if the model, your model dies,
if you take an enemy out of action.
Okay, you have to kill somebody.
Similar thing.
Kill then someone. Replace that model.
Yeah, you replace that model with your pyre token. Your
pyre token.
Yeah, you kill and then use an ability, or use an ability and then you get a kill. Then you burn them into
the ability has to say cremate on it.
Yep. So correct, the cremate comes from is listed in the other abilities. Some of their abilities let them do a cremate, which often follows after they've taken a fighter out of action. And the cremate token replaces that fighter's location. And at the end of the game, after objectives have been scored, that any enemy model within 3 inch of that pyre token takes 3 damage.
Does anybody else feel like cremate is a weird keyword?
I mean, it's the right word. I mean, you know, the punishment for the people who cremated the bodies to keep them safe.
And... tokens. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm just getting a little weird at night. But
I'm going to jump on the Boiling Wrath ability. This is a quad for the Idrillin. Remember that they have 10 models in their warband. And so this says Boiling Wrath. The fighter makes a number of bonus actions. And this is any of them, so it's not just a leader, which may be any combination of move, attack, and disengage actions equal to the number of fighters from this fighter's battle group that have been taken down. So battle group, yes. Not the whole army. So,
right.
But if you've got 10 and you've got three or four yeah. models in your warband in your battle group, and three of them have been taken down, you're the last one in your battle group, you could be making 3 additional attacks using this quad, which is pretty rad. So you might be taking your beefiest boy and putting a bunch of scronos in their warband or in their battle group, sending them out to die so that they can just come in and like mess someone up. Then totally totally a fair trade. Just sacrifice some dudes. But anyway.
Yeah, and it's like if only two fighters need to die for this to become a strictly better rampage.
Right.
And rampage is very good. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not even like move the value of the ability dice. You just, you get your normal 5-inch move or whatever, you know. So it's definitely better than rampage with the
two. And you have some 8 wound elves that are probably going to die pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And you can do disengage actions, which you could almost, which you weren't allowed to use rampage for, or you could do double attack, which rampage has to be a moving attack.
Right.
So pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Haven, you got one you like?
I liked Boiling Wrath, but I'll pick another one.
Yeah,
you will. I like other ones cool, Standing Wave Stance, because it feels very kind of Karate Kid crane kick. In mm-hmm. that you stand still and you wait for the enemy to come to you, and then you counterattack. But so you can only use this ability if you've not made any move or disengage actions. And then after you use the ability, you can't make any move or disengage actions. So you stand still. It's like a stance where you like flow like water and use the enemy against itself. But it is +1 attacks in strength until the end of the round. And +1 toughness to the end of the round. So it's like better than, it's a triple, but it's like better than an onslaught because it gives you the strength and it gives you a toughness. So
yeah,
situational, but very strong.
Yeah. And it kind of ties into some of the lore they have in the book where they call it Igwakar, the 9 currents martial form that the River Blades practice. And it kind of carries into some of their quest stuff too. So this is like one of their martial forms. So it just kind of fits again the theme. It's kind of fun that way. I'll pick up on the Pyrogeist quad. It's a fun one. Agonizing Penance. You pick a visible enemy fighter within 6 inches. That enemy fighter makes a bonus move action directly towards the closest other fighter from their warband, as if they were jumping, number of equal inches equal to the value of the ability. When doing so, they can move away from enemy fighters within 1 inch at the start of the move action. After that move action, you allocate 3 damage points to that fighter and to each other enemy fighter within 2 inches of that fighter. Cremate each fighter taken down by this ability. So you're just like,
nice,
you
AOE.
Run over there, set everybody on fire.
Yeah, send a message to your friends.
I'm like, ooh, that could spread be nasty.
Spread the word.
Right, you know, especially if it's dropping cremate tokens from multiple models, and it's going to be a big old bonfire over there.
Yeah. Crazy. Cool. Awesome. Nice job picking those out. We've also got some new terrain rules in our places of power. We've pulled in, they've pulled in a few other terrain pieces from AOS. Just a, we've got like the blood altar from the Flesh Eater Courts, and we've got the kind of altar, blood altar from the Khorne Bloodbound, or just Khorne in general. So a couple of those, and then they've given some new abilities to some of our favorite Gnarl Woods, Gnarl Oaks, and to the Bone Hole, and to the Realm Shaper engine when used as a place of power. So there's some cool stuff in here that makes it feel like we could, like, I'd be inclined to use these more so than some of the rules that we've gotten in the past, or, you know, there's just some fun stuff here. Anybody got one or two that they want to pull out?
One of the ones, I think, you know, again, so in terms of setup, says you have to have your opponent's permission before you can use them. And then you can assign these to each piece of terrain on the table. So you could have a lot of varied, interesting terrain, kind of like AOS when it first came out, where every single piece of terrain had some sort of ability to it. The one I really like is Lethal Vantage. And essentially, it gives you a diving attack, which is something I definitely think we should incorporate in all the games, you know, where the model uses a double. And until the end of that fighter's activation, the fighter does not suffer impact damage. If the fighter makes a move action at the end of which they are on the battlefield floor, add 1 to the strength and damage characteristic of this fighter's melee attack action until the end of the activation. And you have to declare a platform to be the lethal vantage. So essentially they're leaping off the platform, attacking somebody, get +1 strength and damage, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like that.
I got one.
Yeah.
I like the laser. The Idol of the Old Ones, otherwise known as Froghead, has a stuttering beam attack, which is a triple where you roll a dice, and on a 1, you electrocute yourself, take die 6 damage, but on a 2 up, you pick a point on the battlefield and shoot a laser there, and then all enemy fighters take damage points equal half the ability dice rounded up within a 3-inch 3 inches of that point. So 6-inch diameter circle.
Right. Blast.
Some like artillery blast for Warcry.
Yeah. Some cool stuff there that just adds more kind of tech for us to use, more fun and craziness to employ in the games. Mm-hmm. As expected, we've got quests for heroic traits and greater artifacts for both the Idrillin and the Pyregeists. We've got a little bit different encampments, specialized encampments for them. They don't have like just an artifact list that you can choose to explore versus the other one. They've got some kind of different stuff to them. The Idrillin have a meditation mechanic, and the Pyregeists have
I think one of the neat things is the kind of, again, changing the mechanics a little bit. The one of the Idrillion Riverblade quests gives them a blessing that they have for the rest of the time you play them, and unless they do the quest again and choose a different blessing. So, you know, again, they're kind of like river blessings. So they give you different abilities, different things you can do, but it's not like a normal heroic artifact or an artifact is, you know, the whole warband gets this blessing instead. It's kind of cool.
And then, of course, it has our kind of themed campaign, War of Power Undammed, between the two warbands.
Can I just say the Riverblade encampment is a waterfall, and I think that's really cute for them.
Yeah, it's really nice. Mm-hmm. You could really use that terrain feature that they have, right? Of the
Aquarian Seeker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a couple waterfall GW scenarios.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a Stormcast one or a Dawnbringer one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Floating around.
It's like kind of, it's a neutral piece, but it's, yeah, it's Dawn.
Yeah.
And then we've got a campaign arc that you can play through with both of the, if you have these two warbands when you buy the box. It has some other encampment locations, Vital Springs and Victory Pyre. We've got a lot of new fun stuff in here. And then, of course, we've got victory conditions and twist tables and new deployment maps and cards, etc. Interesting, in the box, the cards come in their own little box as opposed to just in a baggie or something like that. So I don't know if that's, neat. You know, better for the, if they got some damage in the past or, you know, all that right. sort of thing.
Better protection. Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Anything else you guys want to chat about before, like, just feelings about this box overall, how it fits, what we're getting next, this one terrain, two warbands kind of mix. How are we feeling about it?
I think it's really cool. I think we're at the spot in Warcry where they're trying more things and they're trying to push the boundaries of the systems they've created. And that's really fun. Like, I don't know if I missed us talking about it, but the Riverblades quest is super dope where you're like training different martial arts forms. And depending on which form you're training, the quest changes like what you're supposed to do. Like, are you supposed to take off a high fight, high toughness fighters? Are you supposed to be always be sent forth? And they're different, like,
yeah, that's a heroic trait for them. Yeah, so you choose one of the martial paths. Yeah, it's really thematic.
So, like, you could train up, you know, over a campaign, a narrative campaign, you could train up multiple of these traits as your elf becomes a more kung fu master in the river style.
Yeah, and the pirate guys, their artifacts or something. Is it the... Yeah, their artifacts are different ashes, you know, so which fits the theme again. They're like, oh, they're cremating all this stuff. They got this special type of ash now that they're using and gives them empowered. So it's kind of interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, very, very thematic, I think, throughout the entire book in terms of, you know.
I was just going to say, Josh, do you remember when we did the built-in campaign for the Dominion box?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do it. That was really fun. I want to do another one of those. This book has one for Riverblades versus Pyregeist.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it'll be fun to do.
Fun if you split this with a friend, do the campaign. I think it's like, it's fast. It's like three missions. It'll, you can do it in an afternoon. It's a good time. When we inevitably get the Stormcast Ruination box, that's the shot I'm calling. I hope they do another Warcry campaign tie-in.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be interesting. Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I haven't tried a lot of. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I really like the two bands and a terrain piece. I think it's a nice more. It's a more compact kind of way to like get into it. I suppose I'm still stuck that they don't have like tokens or dice or even a paper battleground for this, because I think again this could be an easy entry point, but as is, you got to buy some other stuff. But I like it as a more compact, lower price point kind of entry into it, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
Right. Yeah. Not needing a full starter. You got the main box already. You're just adding the stuff to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vince, you got feelings?
I mean, I think these boxes like definitely hit a big group of people, right? They're inexpensive and easy access to the rules and things you need to play the two warbands, which appeals to veteran players like us because it's another piece for my table on top of the fact that I'm going to get my two warbands that I'm going to play or that I'm going to split with somebody that's a veteran or somebody who's like, oh, hey, I'm just going to get into it. Here's a piece of terrain that we can put Nacho Bowls around and then play the game and have it as a centerpiece or have it as... It looks huge. I haven't seen the piece, but it looks massive. So, like, having that as the centerpiece for your table, it's just nice because everybody, it's for everybody, and it actually applies to everybody, and I think that's good.
Yeah, I definitely like the two warband themes in the boxes because then, like Paven was saying, you get these campaign arcs, two warbands are going at each other. So, you know, if you split in the box or not, somebody's still playing with you, and you got the models, you got this automatic campaign arc that you can play through.
It's
kind of nice.
I don't think that model worked for AOS because you had such big pieces and so then you get the second army that maybe you didn't like or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it works pretty great for this scale.
Yeah.
How about any other speculations or things you know, like we're back. Any speculations about us, about being back? How are we going to, are we back?
We're going to finish the season strong.
Yeah.
It's 10:42 at night.
Dogs together are strong.
We're older. I'm just trying to get some energy out of you.
Yeah.
I heard some people saying that we're not really back. Can you guys believe that? Who are they?
Just trying to steal the spotlight, man.
All right, then. Why don't you wrap us up, Vint, in a nice little bow?
All right. Well, you guys should check us out on the Discord at themortalrealms.com/Discord stuff. And hit us up. I'll be on... I don't really use X anymore, so just at me at Dogs of Warcry Vint on the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep. And find also on the dogsofwarcry@gmail.com. If you want to have any questions and things you want to share, things you'd like to see, please let us know.
We don't need social media now that we have Discord. We get all the social we need there.
And if you turn off your notifications, right. Who knows?
All right. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again.
Yep. Soon.
It's time to put a muzzle on this episode. If it was a good, good dog, support the show with a positive review on iTunes, sharing it with friends, joining us for hobby discussions at themortalrealms.com/Discord, or leave a tip at themortalrealms.com/Patreon. More content is available at themortalrealms.com and on Twitter at Dogs of Warcry. Dogs of Warcry.